The Bailey & Harding Ultrasound System is proudly sponsored by Innovate, the UK's best-loved trail shoe and apparel company. This month, we're giving you guys a chance to win a pair of brand new Innovate Trailfly trail running shoes. The Trailfly's 4mm rubber studs are perfect for gripping rock and hard-packed dry ground, and the graphene grip rubber outsole has also been improved from previous models to give better traction in wet conditions. These are my go-to day-to-day shoe, and I absolutely love them. To win a pair, simply head to our Instagram page, at Ultrasound System Pod. Click the link to enter in our link tree and wait for that lovely email from Innovate telling you you're a winner. If you can't wait that long, you can get a big old 15% discount on any full price kit you purchase from the website with the code BHUSS15. That's BHUSS15. Innovate in a great more like. On with the pod. Hello and welcome to the Bailey & Harding Ultrasound System Legend Special. Every now and again, myself and Anna will interview someone that we think is incredibly interesting, important, and under-celebrated in the sport of ultra running. And today, I got a treat, a special treat. It's a Hannah Rickman-shaped treat. Hello, Hannah Rickman.
Hello, Ali Bailey.
Did you like that intro? I'm really struggling here, guys, because I don't have Anna with me. She's a journalist, so I'm really trying. So the reason I wanted to get Hannah on was because, one, I love her. She's incredible. And two, I don't know that much about her. She's kind of come into my peripheral through the spine. And then I've kind of done a little bit more of a weird, stalky deep dive. And then I've spoken to people about you. I'm like, I love that Hannah. And everyone I've spoken to is like, oh my God, she's incredible.
Oh, that's very nice.
And so that's how I wanted to get you on the podcast. So I think we'll start. Let's start. We're going to talk about the Northern Traverse. We're going to talk about the spine. We're going to talk about all the good stuff. We're going to talk about why you lived in Malawi. But to start, how did you get into running?
I got into running, so I suppose I did a lot of like team sports when I was growing up, but I definitely was not a runner. So I did running for fitness and to be better at the other sports. But I played a lot of hockey. I played like a lot of touch rugby after university. Running was always something that I did a little bit of on the side, but not the focus. So I've spent quite a lot of the last 10 years or so living abroad. And I think like moving to different countries and being in new places is often like quite a good way to kind of find community. And maybe there's not people there who do the same sports as you, but there's normally some people who are going to be running. So I did started going along to a Thursday afternoon run on the beach when I was living in Sierra Leone. And I moved from there to the States. And then I was in America for a year or so and met a really great kind of community of runners there. And that's probably when I guess I like did a half marathon, I did a marathon, and then kind of got on the slippery slope. But it was all about just having a really great community of people in different places that I've lived that have been people that I want to spend time with. And then you hang out with people who do a lot of running and who think that it's normal. And then you start running further and further and further and it all gets a bit weird.
That old chestnut. Mm. People normalizing it.
Well,
that's really interesting. Like you've lived in loads and loads of different countries. Why were you traveling so much?
So mostly for work. So I'm a doctor. So I was kind of working abroad in a few different places. I went to the US to do my master's. And then I was in Malawi till recently working my PhD.
So are you back in the UK now for good? Or are you just having a little UK
back in the UK for now? Yeah. And like feeling quite good about being back in the UK currently. So we'll see how it goes, but definitely in the UK for the minute, like finishing off my PhD and then back into the NHS 2025. So I've got a little bit more of sort of student life to go, and then back
God
to,
bless you, Hannah Rickman.
Back to Look reality. At you.
You're one of the good ones. Oh. I'm going to talk about this later. This whole doctors and vets are really good at running things.
Yeah.
I think there's something you're not telling us, if I'm going to be quite honest. So at what point did you think to yourself, do you know what? Or did you ever think to yourself, I'm quite good at this? Were you like doing marathons? Like, what was it that made you think, oh, I'm going to push this a little bit further, maybe get into trail? Like, where was that gateway?
I think the gateway was when I was in, probably into trails was when I was in the US. Just met a really nice group of people. And I was living in Baltimore, which is a really lovely city, but it's quite a kind of big kind of urban city. And suddenly I had these friends who at the weekend were kind of going out into these amazing like state parks and going running, like, yeah, instead of running around and around in the city and like round little parks, we're going out into the forest and out into the mountains and spending time in these incredible places. And yeah, so I guess that just ticked a lot of boxes of outdoors, of being with nice people. So yeah, that's probably when the trail started. And yeah, I don't know. I've never, like I say, it's always just kind of escalated a bit. Like I did, did a 50K and then did a 50 miler and then did a 100 miler and then yeah. So it's never been kind of one moment.
But like that, don't you think that's weird? Like, let's look at it from the outside, right? Don't you think that's weird? Because it's like, we're like, yeah, I did a 50K, 50 miler. For most humans, I always use, for general population, I use a Wetherspoon. So I'm like, why don't you walk into a Wetherspoon, your local Wetherspoon, and explain exactly what you've just done, and then see the look on people's faces where they're like, what? Like, because I think that is a sort of a leveler, isn't it? So what was it about those trail runs where you thought, like, did somebody say, oh, do you want to enter an event? Like, where was the first, what was the first event, and how did it lead on to those other ones?
So actually the first 50K I did was because a couple of people I knew were doing a 50K around the really nice state park where I was living, and it was like October in like the east coast of the US, like beautiful fall
Oh my
colors,
God, I bet it was
amazing, amazing.
amazing.
So
Yeah, I
I
bet
was
it was
like,
amazing.
okay, I'm in. And I'd done a half marathon recently. So 50K was quite a big jump, but I was like, well, I can probably just walk in, it'll be fine. And then the weekend of the race, it was torrential rain. And they actually wouldn't let us use the state park. So instead of being in this beautiful landscape, they reorganized the race and we ran three times round the perimeter of the airport, like on tarmac. And it was like the opposite of the experience that I was hoping for. But I did the whole thing with these really nice people. And so we just like jogged around the airport three times, chatted away, had a lovely day.
I am literally shutting this interview down now because now we know why you're such a badass, because that was your first go and that was the most horrible thing you could have done, and nothing would be worse than
Awful.
that.
Yeah, no, it was really rubbish, but the company was great. So yeah, that was the first ultra.
That's so funny. It's like the opposite of everything else you've ever done.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, was it a case of, oh, right, I haven't done what it's out to do. I'm going to have to go and do something else that's similar.
A little bit. It was, yeah, and I guess like the things that I like about, like the things I like about running get better the longer you go. So I like the
That's
comfort.
really interesting.
Like I
Okay,
like, yeah.
what, so what do you like? Tell us what you like. Tell us what you
Well,
like.
so the slow pace, stop and take some photos, have a look at the view, kind of taking in your environment rather than being really worried about the pace or kind of ticking off the miles or having to like hit certain targets, doing it with friends, snacking a lot, like long days out. Like my ideal would be to spend all day outside. And I just found that all of those things, you just get more of it, like the longer you go. So like a 50K is like 10 times more fun than a 5K. It's just
I've never done it in maths like that, but that's actually a really good point. Yeah,
yeah.
it is. It
Just
is.
more time with friends, more time doing what you love, more
Yeah.
slowly.
So can you remember, like, when it was that you first started thinking, I'm gonna, like, 50K is one thing, right? 150K is one thing, but getting to like the 50 milers, the 100 milers, and then the big, what, they're not multi-days, because, but they are multi-days. It's a re Have you got a term for like those races that are all in one go?
Continuous single stage,
There you
maybe.
go.
I think that's the jargon.
That's the jargon.
Yep.
The continuous single stage. Yeah, when did it start to become something where you were like, oh, this is something that I do, and I do, and I want to keep going longer?
I guess the whole time. So yeah, so I did, yeah, did my first 100 miler, and then after that I was like, well, that was fun, cool. I did the North
What
Downs.
was it?
It was the North Downs Way 100. So it was one of the Centurion ones. It was brilliant. I had such a good day out, and like friends came and crewed me, like my sister came and ran a bit of it with me. It poured with rain. It's a bit of a theme. It was like torrentially rainy the whole time, but it was brilliant. And yeah, and then I was like, okay, well, what's longer than that? And then you get onto the spine stuff. So then I did
No, you don't. That is a massive leap. Like, was there nothing in the middle?
the challenge in North. I did the challenge in North.
Okay,
Yeah.
but still,
The
you've
spine
got,
stuff.
well,
Yeah.
so I suppose you've gone from 100 miles. What is the challenge of 150 something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And but like, what's interesting here is you, every time you do something for the first time, there's some adversity, like weather, or like it being on tarmac, or something where it makes it uncomfortable. So, Have you had, like, from a very early, has it been from
There's
a
some real
very early
therapist stuff
start?
going on here, Ali. This
Oh,
is,
I'm a coach, man. So,
yeah.
but what is it about, most people would just go, do you know what? I'm not doing this. It's really cold and wet. Or like, I'm not doing it if it's running around an airport. But you're like, okay. What is it about you that makes you able to do that? Do you know? Have you always been like a real, like, positive, helpful person?
Positive, helpful person.
Yeah.
I think, like, honestly, most of the time, I am enjoying myself. Like most of the time it's fun. And I think, I don't know, there's one of those, like, I don't know if it's like a mantra or whatever, which I quite often think of when I'm doing ultras, which is laugh or quit, which is like, if you want to quit, just quit. Like, if you don't want to be there, you should just go home. Like, you chose to be there, you've paid some money, you're privileged enough that you can make a decision to spend some cash, like dicking around a bog at 2 in the morning. So if you want to quit, just quit. Like, it's your hobby, no one gives a shit. But if you're not going to quit and you decide that for whatever reason in that moment you're going to keep on doing it, then you might as well laugh about it because it's normally ridiculous and stupid stuff is happening and the whole thing is insane. And you're normally somewhere beautiful, even if it doesn't feel beautiful in that moment. And you're often with nice people and you're often, and often you're like, if it's pouring with rain, it's like, well, it's going to be pouring with rain if I'm sat inside looking at it from inside the sofa. Or actually, I can be out in it and it's not that bad. And I'd rather be outside in it. I don't know. I always think that at the spine at 3 in the morning. I'm like, yeah, this is more fun than like being tucked away hiding from it. I
I
don't know.
just am like,
Is that weird as well?
what's happened? What happened to you as a
You're making
child?
a funny face at me. You've got a head tilt.
Sorry, you're experiencing low mood head tilt.
Exactly.
You like, were you raised in a wood? Like, when you were young, were you like, did you have, what was your childhood like? I mean, I'm not therapying you. I'm just really interested because a lot of the people I talk to who are like super badass are like, oh, I know, my parents just threw me out into the mud and just let me play outside all day long, and it was cool. Like, so did you have lots of outdoor experiences when you were growing up? I'm just absolutely fascinated by this, like, no, it's all good thing. I want a bit more. I want some of that. Where do I get it?
Oh shit, okay. Not really, like a normal amount of being outside, I think. Yeah, I don't know, we spent like holidays. Yeah, I mean, probably my dad like dragged us up some mountains. We did a bit of walking, but not like not a weird amount. I don't know, I guess maybe like sport was a big bit of childhood and a big chunk of that. And I guess maybe a lot of that was around like, if it's raining, your match is still going ahead, your training's still happening.
Yeah. So
You're going to
is
be
there?
outside anyway, maybe.
I've got a question for you. How competitive are you?
Really, I pretend sometimes not to be very competitive. I'm very competitive.
There is nothing wrong with being
I
competitive.
know.
Do you know what's really
I'm trying to embrace
interesting?
it. I'm trying to lean into it a bit more.
But I think it's really interesting because men will always be like, no, I'm hyper competitive. Whereas women
Right.
are like, oh, I'm really sorry, but I shouldn't.
That's why
Or
I'm
they.
trying to lean into it more. I'm trying to be a
Yeah.
bit more like honest about it.
There is nothing wrong with being competitive. Like, people think it's a dirty word, but I think it's cool. Like,
I always feel like I need to apologize for it a bit because
no, you
it
don't.
is always like, it's like not very rational, is it? Like, I don't want to like, I like if I'm racing against people, I want, especially women who I'm running with in an ultra, like I want all the women out there to be having an amazing time and like running their best race. And I don't want to be like beating them. Like it doesn't make any sense. I want everyone to be having a good time, but at the end of the day, I've like always been like
But
people.
I don't think being competitive means you're an asshole. I think
No,
you can be
right.
competitive and you can be an asshole. You can be really uncompetitive and be an asshole. Like,
That's
I
true.
think it's just like, if it's something that drives you, it's incredible. But the other thing that we all need to remember, guys, as humans, is if we weren't competitive, we'd all be dead because that's why we're so great as a species. Like, we would always compete for stuff. So I really don't see what the problem is. What I really like, though, is the nature of competition within ultra sport. Like, because I don't know, having done lots of sports, how is the competition within ultra running different to like the competition within like hockey or any of the other sports that you've ever done?
I guess, well, I suppose those are a bit different in that they're team sports, but I think like the thing I really like about ultra running is how it does you like often do that. And maybe like trail running compared to road running often I've found is like a really kind of supportive environment where what you want is everyone to be like sharing the trails, having a good time, running their best race. And you're right, like that's how I try and think about like racing. is that it's like it's a tool that lets me get the most out of myself. And for whatever reason, my like little lizard brain responds well to like having something to chase, like like a dog, like that's like how we've evolved, isn't it, to like want something to chase after. And for whatever reason, that allows me to, that has like in the past, like really often when I run, allowed me to like been something that's allowed me to push myself harder than I thought I could, or to keep on going when I thought I was going to stop. And that's a, like to discover times that I can keep on going when I don't think I can. And and that's cool. Like that's like that's a tool. That's competition as a and racing as a tool to allow everyone to to discover things about themselves they didn't know, and discover they can do things they didn't know they could.
And I totally understand that, because I wouldn't describe myself as competitive, but if I, but sometimes or every time I'm ever doing anything, I'm ever on an event, I'm like, that girl in the pink top, I'm taking her down. So I'm always like, I
Yeah, you don't
always
hate
am.
her. Like, she's great.
No,
You're gonna be
no.
nice to her
And
as you
like,
go past.
well, one of the
But
things
yeah.
I, yeah, one of the things I loved about the Lakes Traverse, we'll talk about your Northern Traverse in a minute, but like, was the fact there were so many women on the course that we all kept jumping across each other. So like, they were great on the ups and I was great on the ups. I was great on the downs. They were rubbish on the downs. And we kept meeting each other the whole time. So it became like actually just quite a good game. Like, we were loving it, but there was no like beef or like bitching about it or like elbowing each other out the way like you would get in a road race. It was just like, this is great, I love it, and I love that part of the sport. I think it's amazing. And I always try with the lads I try to interview, I'm like, what were you saying to Jack Damo, what did you say to him? But I think they were actually just talking about like their pets, because I don't like there isn't the road running. So talk to me about like the big girl stuff, and I'm talking spine stuff. Where's the fascination with the spine come from?
Where is the fascination with spine? So it I feel like there is it's a different kind of challenge, isn't it? Like I really like the journey stuff. So I really, I liked the Northern Traverse, like going from one coast of the country to the other coast of the country. Like that's cool. And like moving through these different landscapes and seeing all these different places. And the spine's the same, you cover the Pennine Way and you move through these different national parks, these different landscapes, and you start in, you start in the Peak District, and you end up in Scotland. Like, that's cool. It's an adventure. That's exciting, and that really appeals to me. And then I quite like the winter stuff is like an extra challenge. And I think the thing that's kind of keeps me coming back is the community around the races as well. Like, I think that's been the thing that, just while it's this sort of big challenge, that like all of the humans around it are so lovely, and there's so many people who are like helping, desperately trying to help you to achieve your goals. Everyone's, in it together in this like mad winter ridiculous experience.
Like it's like a family. Oh God, I know it's
I
so cheesy, but it is
know,
like
I know.
family, isn't it?
It like the people are great, and I guess I go back now. I've been back since I did that first challenge in North. I've volunteered in the summers, and I've run in the winters, and so it's the same. It's a lot of people who, I only see them twice a year, and they're great, and we come back and we have a little reunion back in the back in that bubble, I guess. And it is very like all encompassing. You just sort of take a week where you don't think about anything else. Like the whole world becomes like
Yeah,
it's run our
it
way.
simplifies your life right down, doesn't it? It's like all you need to do is
It's like
run.
head north. Yeah, that's it. Like head north and eat food. And that's basically like your only job for that time. And everyone around you is also like either trying to do that themselves or invested in trying to help you to do it. Like it's nice. It's this
I
nice way
think
to
it's
like think
humans
about the future.
behaving.
It's magic.
Yeah, it's the way that humans should behave with each other. It's like really, really shaved right back. Everything is shaved back. It doesn't matter what job you do. It doesn't matter like how much money you've got, what car you drive, what religion you are. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. All that matters is you're helping each other. And I've never like I did the safety team for the first time this year with the winter one, and I was like, nah, this won't affect me because I'm double up bastard. I was like, I don't want to leave. I want to stay with you forever. Next thing you know, oh, their little fingers hovering over the buttons, isn't it? So yeah, but I've gone summer because I'm sat because I'm a pussy, basically. Well, I'm not. I don't like getting my pants wet.
Fair. That's
Yeah.
reasonable. That's like a
Well,
good
I
life
think
position.
I'll get to winter, but yeah. So tell me about why you picked spine then, because with the like, I know that you've done way more than just the North Downs Way, but that I like the crewing aspect of it because I like my mates to be there. So with the spine, like, is the element of the fact that you can't be crewed, the fact that you are basically on your own, because you are basically on your own, is that a big part of it? Like, why is that the race where you're like, this is the one I'm going to keep going back to? Because there's lots of nice ones where you can do it with your friends. Do you know that? There's friend ones.
Apparently other races are available, and some of them,
Yeah, there's friend ones.
and some of them you get to like finish and go to bed at the end, like in a normal
100%.
day, which I think is quite, yeah. And I might actually try some of those. I think they sound quite attractive.
They are.
Finishing off and yeah, going to bed like a human. I suppose firstly, I really like crewing, and I do love spending those days with friends, but I sometimes worry that there's like only so many times you could ask, so there's that. Very lovely friends who are willing to give up their weekend to hang around with you, to like drive up and down following you. And the self-sufficiency bit of the spine is nice as well. Like, I do quite like that everyone's in the same boat in
Yeah.
that. Like, everyone's got the same level of support, which is like not very much when you're in between the checkpoints, and then like amazing hugs and cuddles when you're in the checkpoints. And that, I guess in some ways that like simplifies it. There's like less, in some ways like less to think about. There's just the stuff that you're in control of, like what you've got with you, how you're looking after yourself, and then getting yourself from A to B. And yeah, that's kind of self-sufficiency piece is nice, I think, and it's quite like empowering, I guess. Like, I feel like I've definitely like learned skills from doing that, and like gained a lot of confidence that I didn't have before. That and that's you know and then that, then it's a bit self-fulfilling, because then you feel more confident in the mountains, you feel more confident at night, you feel more confident in the winter, and that kind of then allows you to do more stuff safely, and just kind of opens up, yeah, more opportunities for fun days outside.
Did you go from like, did you ever have like, so my journey has been very much like, build it, build it, build it, build it, build it. I went through a long period of my life where I wasn't very well, but I was like, I don't believe I can do it. So what I need to do is do the same thing over and over again, like do 500 milers and then do like, that are all supported, and then do like six multi days that are all supported. And then maybe one day I can do it unsupported, but I kind of feel like I've spoilt myself on it because I'm like, oh, but I like being supported. But I like, so I have to, at the age of, around at the age of 42, now I have to like learn to survive by myself. And I feel like that's quite difficult because I'm wired to like, want to see my mates at the end. Have you always been like, I'm going to go and do this like more lone wolf, or have you graduated to the sort of ranks of crewing and being looked after?
Yeah, I think that definitely has been the progression. I suppose one bit of it is like, because I suppose because I've been living abroad quite a bit, like I haven't actually raced very much, just because a lot of the places I've been living there like haven't really been any races. So I've raced like once or twice a year, like often either somewhere nearby, like to where I've been living, or when I've been back, normally I come back for Christmas and then do the spine has been the like life routine for the last few years. So I guess I maybe like haven't had haven't I, I could, I haven't done 500 milers, or I haven't done lots of like going back to the same things. And so maybe that's been more like, okay, well, if I'm doing a race, especially if it's something I'm traveling for, or it's something I'm like linking up with a trip back home for something else, then I don't know, maybe then it wants to be something that I've not done before, or a different experience, or something that's like testing something new, maybe.
How do you train for a winter spine when you live in Malawi? I'm sure you've been asked this before.
I mean, probably quite a lot like you train for it if you live in the UK, but with less relevant weather. So Malawi's really like mountainous. So there's an amazing like 3,000 meter mountain that was kind of an hour's drive away from hour and a half drive away from my house. So yeah, lots of like big days out in the mountain, and I would literally like take the spine bag with the bloody ice spikes and the 0 degree sleeping bag, and it would be
Can
just like
you imagine if something had happened
degrees.
to you, a mountain rescuer turned up and they would have been like, what was she
Well,
doing?
unfortunately, there's absolutely no mountain rescue in
Oh,
Malawi.
yeah.
So the self-sufficiency bit, you have to really take care of.
It would just be the vultures peeking over your body and
Right, being
spikes.
like, I wonder why she's got all this stuff with
So amazing. So you basically go in, and I guess you just kind of know what you're doing now, don't you? The first time you went and did the wind spine, were you training in UK weather or abroad
Malawi
weather?
weather.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So how did you like choose your kit and stuff?
I guess I sort of had, I suppose I'd done a lot of like hiking and stuff before, and I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe it like prevented me having to like think too much about it and like go into the like deep dive wormhole of like a spreadsheet of all of the different kinds of jackets and things.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, well, I'm not going to have that long to test it out. So this one sounds good. We'll go
You're
with
just going to
that.
have to go into Sports Direct and just take whatever's in the sale,
Exactly.
basically.
Just clean it up.
But
But yeah,
like,
like a month back.
that's a
Yeah.
really good point, because like going into it like with like, well, I'm just not gonna, it's not something that, it's completely out of your control, isn't it? So it's like, I'm just gonna crack on. And I think that we all get obsessed. I get obsessed. I know I get obsessed, and I try and tell my clients not to, but with like, oh, what's that person doing? What are they wearing? Oh, should I get that? And it's like, what works for one person just does not work for another person,
100%.
including yourself. So let's just go straight over, because I'm worried we're gonna run out of time. Let's go on to the Northern Traverse. So the Northern Traverse was only a couple of weeks ago. First off, how is your recovery? How are you feeling?
My recovery is okay. How is yours?
I only did a little bit, so mine
You
is
did a,
fine. Mine's
it's
fine.
okay. It was a very little bit.
I did 100K, but by the time it really started to rain, I was back at home in bed,
Yeah,
and
that was
all I
rough.
could think about was you guys. So for those people that don't know, the Northern Traverse is a 190-mile run from St. Bees on the west coast, west side, to Robin Hood's Bay on the east side of the country. It cuts straight across the middle, goes through three national parks: Lake District, the Yorkshire Dales, and the North Yorkshire Moors. And it's a one-stage, single-stage event, so you can have a nap, but it's not comfortable. And how long have you got to do it?
Oh, I should know that, but I don't.
Some hours, but not many, like 5 days or something.
5-ish days, I think.
Yeah. There's another one. There's a little one, the Lakes Traverse, which I did, and we did a report on that the other week. And then there's the Dales Traverse and the Moors Traverse as well, which are new. So Hannah, she just went and casually won it, it was seeing you out was incredible, because the thing is, the weather was absolutely appalling. So talk us through your race. You came past me at like 20 miles, and you were, I thought to myself, I might just try keep up with Hannah for a bit. And then I went, about 5 minutes later, I went, no, she's gone now. I can't see her anymore. You were on fire.
I think as I went
Amazing.
past, I was like, I
You
think
were
I'm going too
on fire, but you got your poles out. And I looked at mine and went, if I don't get these out now, I'm just taking them on a long walk across the Lake District, because I
fast.
do that all the time. I take them with me and never use them.
Right.
So I got them out, and I'm very grateful that you got yours out in front of me, because I'm like, I wouldn't have got them out otherwise. Thank
Happy
you.
to help.
Thanks for
You're
reminding me.
welcome. No probs.
So how was it? How did it pan out?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, I loved yeah, like just like you were saying, like I really enjoyed the way that like the Northern Traverse and the Lakes Traverse kind of interacted with each other. That was such a nice, like seeing, yeah, there were just like so many friendly people out. Everyone on the Lakes Traverse was amazing. Just like just the atmosphere was really great. All of the interactions with people were brilliant. So many women out. Yeah, that was really, really excellent. And most of it through the Lake District was quite nice, right? It's like
Bit
a
windy, but
bit windy,
it didn't
yeah.
actually start raining till like 4 or 5 o'clock, did it? It was
Right.
right.
And secretly, quite a lot of that wind was actually a tailwind, wasn't it? Like, let's be honest. Like,
But
quite a lot of that
the
was.
tailwind on a mountain is, it is going
Yeah.
to push you over. Like, did you get pushed over?
I did get pushed over, yeah, properly blown off my feet twice, I think. And that bit coming down off, yeah, the bit coming off Grisdale Tarn where it was steep and slippery, and suddenly you've got a tailwind that's like chucking you off it.
That's the bit where everybody fell over. And I'm pretty sure if they put a
Yeah.
camera up, it would have been brilliant, because
Right,
people
that's where you
just
wanted the live stream, just everyone.
sat on the floor looking at each other, just going,
Yep.
cool. So you went up because they put in a diversion, but obviously you didn't do the diversion, did you?
No,
You
I
went
did
up,
do the
you went
diversion.
up.
I was one of the first people to do the
You
diversion.
did the
I
diversion.
did the diversion. Yeah, I got that lucky treat. Yeah, me and one of the other guys were the first Northern Traverse people to not get the delight of going over
I
Kittatibi.
mean, because that diversion was a bit bastard. Like, it was so slidey and slippery, and obviously I didn't know where I was going, and it's dark when I got there, so whatever. But that was when the weather really came in, and that for me was like, for Shane to put a diversion in, first off, that's unheard of. Secondly, the guys was like, yeah, there's two weather systems, and they're gonna smash into each other over the Lake District, and all hell's gonna break loose. And I was like, really? He went, yeah. And I went, okay then. So yeah, the rain was apocalyptic, and I finished at 1 o'clock in the morning, and you were well gone. So you must have been, I was like 100K, and so you've got to have been like 80, 90 miles in by that point, and you were on the worst bit of the course. So what were those nights like in that weather? Like, really, what were they like in that weather? Was there any point where you were like, I've had enough, or did you manage to like maintain yourself the whole way through?
The first night was awful. It was the worst. I think it was the worst weather I've spent like a whole night outside. And like it was really, it rained. Like you say, it rained a lot. It was really windy, and the underfoot conditions were just like absolutely diabolical. There was all of that bit, coming through in the field and to Shap that was pretty horrendous. And then all of the next bit is like boggy fields, boggy fields, boggy fields, boggy fields. You get into Kirkby Stephen, you go over nine standards. And that's like boggy on a good day. And the whole way up, I was like, it's gonna be bad, it's gonna be bad, it's gonna be bad. And it was really, really bad. There was, I don't know how else to say it. The weather was not good. The conditions were not nice. It was not
How
very
were
pleasant.
you meeting those conditions? Like, I'm really interested in how people dress themselves. I'm interested in their system. I'm interested in like what are you going to do in in that situation. Have you got all your kit on? Are you saving a little bit of kit? Like, what were you doing?
Yeah, so I normally don't get that cold in general. So I'm not sure my system is like a good, well, it's like you say, like what works for one person doesn't work for
Yeah.
everyone else. But
I'm just interested in
normally,
what everyone's system is because my
normally I've
system's
got like
mental.
two layers fewer on than what everyone else is wearing.
Yeah.
So for basically the whole of the first bit, I was wearing a t-shirt with a jacket over the top. And then I think maybe I put something else on. I don't think I even put anything else on Shap. I changed in Kirkby Stephen and put some. And put a long sleeve base layer. But yeah, long sleeve base layer, leggings, and then waterproof top, waterproof bottoms, which when I was moving was fine. But like I definitely had, I definitely had a lot of layers that I had with me that I was like happy to put on if I was getting cold and if things were not good, that were in my
Yeah, and like it's
bag.
important to remember you're moving quickly, like you're moving quicker than people who are behind you, and like it is each to their own, isn't it? It's absolutely each to their own. I run cold, so I'm like more, please, more thin layers, and I've kind of cracked it with like the thin layers. I'm well into them. But was there any point on the on there when you were like, any point at all where you were like, I'm gonna stop?
To be honest, the places where the only places I got cold were in the checkpoints. Because then you suddenly stop moving. So I like
Yeah.
washed up in Kirkby Stephen, like sort of emerged from the bog, like hoping it was going to be this kind of safe haven of like warmth and happiness.
Yeah.
And it was the same in Shap actually. Like got in there, sat down and was like, I'm gonna get really cold here.
Yeah.
So in some ways it like incentivized cracking on. Like yeah, the minute I got there and stopped was when I was getting cold. But no, I think it felt pretty wild, but like it wasn't that cold. It was, I suppose it also it was the first night as well, so you're still like quite fresh, like not super depleted, not like sleep isn't such a big issue at that point. So it didn't feel, like it didn't feel unsafe. It didn't feel scary. It just felt a bit
I
miserable.
mean, you are literally the only person that said to me that they didn't feel unsafe.
Oh,
Like,
really?
yeah,
Okay.
like everyone else is like, oh, I don't know if you probably have not listened to me and James whinging on about it, whanging on about it on the Centurion podcast, but
And
like,
James said he thought it was unsafe. I thought you did.
yeah, we were all like, this is scaring us. Like Mark pulled
Oh.
out, I think just after Nine Standards, he was like, I was really scared on the Yorkshire Dales and had to call my mummy and his mum had to come and get him. Like, you know, like people were scared. I was quite
Maybe that's
scared.
like a lack of, that sounds like a lack of situational awareness on my point then.
I
You're
love it. I just have
fine.
this idea
It's
this
all fine.
you're
La
like
la
this wild woman of the Dales and you're just like,
la.
no, I'm going on. When you entered the Northern Traverse, were you like it did you so me and my friend Kirsty were talking about this the other day because she was like she pulled out just before she pulled out Kirkby Stephen. She was like, I just didn't want it enough. She did it last year. She was like, I didn't want it enough. Like I was cold, I was wet, I'd had enough. It was really shit conditions and I'm all right with it. How much did you want it when you went into that race to finish it?
Quite a lot, probably. I think like starting the journey, I think you always kind of start with the intention of getting to the side. And I suppose I'd like spent quite a lot of time, like done quite a lot of recce on the course, like knew, I suppose I spent quite a lot of time like training for it, thinking about it. I was, I guess I was planning to get to the end. I think it's, yeah, and I think that's, it's always harder when you've done a race once already to, like, I definitely had a couple of big wobbles in the spine this year.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I know I can finish this. I've done it before. I just really don't fucking want to. And
Yeah.
that was the emotion that almost made me drop out, was just being like, I know I can. This is awful. I could just not, and then I'd be in bed and life would be better. Whereas I
Oh,
think the first time,
the bed
like,
thought. I hate the
oh
bed
man,
thought so
it
bad.
was bad.
Do you have a kill criteria for races? So do you go into them being like, there's these three things, and if they happen, I'm done. Do you ever do that, or do you just see how it goes?
Yeah, it goes. See how it goes. I mean, I have been thinking about yeah, I think I do need to have a bit of a think about the I'm just not enjoying myself criteria, because that one was really strong on the spine this year. And when I say strong, I mean I spent like 30 minutes at checkpoint crying, like in the fetal
Whoa.
position, telling everyone I wanted to DNF. And then they were like, well, your 30 minutes are up now. So then they threw me out.
Yeah, lovely family. We were just talking about everybody. Well, they've had enough of you. They'll just throw you into the snow.
Like literally into the snow. They didn't even let me put my shoes on properly. They were like, that's your 30 minutes. Like my feet, like half of my shoes.
Throw
And
your shoes
they
after
gave me a
you.
codeine and a coffee, and they literally like chucked me out the door.
Coffee.
But I was,
Like,
yeah,
that's
right. But
amazing.
I was properly like, I really wanted to stop then, because I just didn't want to.
Where
Like I
was
was
that? Whereabouts on the course was that?
Burness. So it was like right before the end, which is why they didn't let me. And I'm really glad they didn't. Yeah, so it's, and I'm really glad they didn't. Like, I definitely now, in hindsight, like then I had an amazing time on the next bit. It was brilliant, and it was really cool, like to have the opportunity to discover that, yeah, that I could keep going even when I really, really, really thought I was done. So yeah, I've been thinking about whether or not, yeah, at what point the like I'm just not having fun anymore piece, like how bad that needs to be before I should start listening to it, because
Yeah,
it turns out a bit worse than like 30 minutes crying on the sofa, not bad enough.
it's definitely like what it's definitely a deeply personal thing. But like, I'm going to address the elephant with the broom, as Pickle, my dog, calls it. I prefer the elephant with the broom,
I like
standing there with his broom.
that.
You have, how many times have you done the full spine now?
Twice.
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 And you've come second both times, right?
I have indeed. Yeah,
Not right.
consistent.
Consistent. Is there a third time going to happen?
That is
Is
a
that why you're doing it? And it's fine if that's why you're doing it, but I want to know.
why I'm doing other than like,
It's fine. Yeah. So when you were like, I'm in the fetal position on the floor, you could have said, I'm not doing it anymore. And they would have been like, okay. But they kick you
no,
out to the snow.
I did say
Yeah, but they would have said
that. I said
eventually they would have been okay, right? But
that
like you kept going. Was that something in your head, or were you like, no, it doesn't matter about that. Like, I'm just gonna it, that doesn't matter to me. It's just because I love that route. It's because I love that experience. Like, I'm just fascinated to know like what it is that pushes you forward in those moments where your everything is saying to you to stop.
that one, yeah, I'm still not quite sure. I'm still honestly like not quite sure what happened there, because I was like a giant embarrassing mess, like a proper meltdown, incoherent, like disaster. And then I basically like then they threw me out, and there's a little church there, and I went and slept in the church for 5 minutes, and then I woke up and was like, well, I guess I might as well just finish it then. I don't know. It sort of seemed like the path of least resistance at that point to like just do the last bit. And yeah, so I don't really know what happened that time, because and that was interesting, because then also like I was a bit injured and my feet were bad, and I was like, yeah, I was in quite a bit of pain and like feeling quite sorry for myself. But then once I kind of decided to get going, then it just turned out that actually it was sort of fine, and the main problem was that I just had enough temporarily. And I think actually like having a big cry was quite helpful. Like I think having a massive meltdown, like getting it all out there.
Do you know what the cry was about?
It was that I really, really, really wanted to go to bed. It's like that was the summary. I really wanted a warm bed. Like I was like, I'm just over it. I'm really tired. Everything hurts. I hate this. It's miserable. Mostly that. And then it was just a lot of like, incoherent feelings. Just a lot of like, non-specific sadness.
Welcome to the spine. Non-specific sadness is provided as standard. So still answer the question. Still answer the question. Excellent, excellent. What's that called? Diversions.
What was the question?
The question was, you've come second twice. So is there going to be a third time? Is that one of your carrots for the spine? Or is it, no, I just love the spine. Like, I love the Arc of Attrition, loved past tense. So I would go and do it every goddamn year. There's no way I'm going to win. And I don't know if I'm going to like get my time better, or if I'm not going to get my time better because of the weather and because of just shit. I just love it. So if I have my way, I do it every single year. Do you feel that way about the spine? Or are you like, no, I want to get this first done, over and done and dusted, so I can move on to something even more horrible, even though I can't think of anything more horrible?
I think I definitely don't want to do the spine every year forever because it's quite hard. It
Is
does.
it? Is
Yeah,
it
I know. Yeah, no,
hard?
it's difficult.
Oh. Out of 5, how hard would you say?
yeah, like I don't know, at the end, at the finish line this year, you know, you're like a bit incoherent and the guy shoves a microphone and you like well shoves a microphone in your face and it's like, you know, they ask you loads of questions. And one of the things he said was like, well, you made that look easy. I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I beg your pardon. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And yeah, I might have it, yeah, it wasn't easy. So I think I have to think quite carefully about going back to the spine because it does it takes a lot of training, it takes a lot of commitment, it's expensive, it's bad for you, obviously. Like it makes you feel, and then you feel like rubbish for the whole of
We had
January.
a little text conversation about this, didn't we? When we were like, running's supposed to be good for you. You're like, no.
Very bad. Very bad. Yeah, that was a strong feeling after the Northern Traverse was like, this is not healthy. Yeah, that, I think we that text was after I'd go out of the bath with all the muscle spasms where I'd like fallen asleep and almost drowned. And
Always done a Whitney in the
before,
bath. Brilliant.
but then before I'd got into bed and then I had night sweats and then I woke up in the middle of the night with a nosebleed. I was just like, oh Jesus, this is like my body's falling apart. It's a disaster. So yeah, so it's not good for you. And it does, yes. And I think you have to be in the right headspace to want, you know, like I'm not really sure about the like find your why thing, but like I think your why has to be, I think you're gonna get asked that question in the spine. Like you're gonna get to the point where you really don't want to be there anymore, you don't want to keep going anymore, and you've got to have a good reason to keep going. So yeah, so I wouldn't go back and do it every year. I think that the thing that made me come back to it once was that I felt like I could do a lot better on it in terms of just like how I did, like not against anyone else, but just like against the spine and against the Pennine Way. And I feel like you learn a lot from doing these kinds of races that, you know, you can't really learn in training. And also that it's like not very like transferable to other stuff. Like it's quite like a lot, some of it is definitely like doing hard things and like
I
looking
think
after,
having patience
but
with
like
yourself and with others, you can learn so much about that through endurance sport, especially like, you know, that laying in a fetal position on the floor crying. And
yeah.
now you're like, that was embarrassing. But at the time, it was the end of your life. You were like, this is so shit. And I think doing, you can only get to the bottom of that barrel by A, going to rock bottom, which I would not advise anyone to do, or B, being in that situation where you're in a safe space to be able to do it. But when else in your life are you ever going to get to that point? Because you'll stop yourself before you get to that point, won't you?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it and yeah, you just it gives you a lot that you that it's hard to get. A lot of experiences, a lot of things that you learn about yourself that it's you don't get in your normal life. It's like hard to get from anywhere else. And I feel like I've learned stuff that may, you know, that I'm like, oh, if I was going to do that again, here are the things that I would do differently. Here are, you know, here are the bits that didn't go well that I feel like I could improve on. You know, the thing about the spine is there's like all these different like bits of the puzzle that you've got to unpick. Like you've got
Oh
to sort
man.
out your like nav and your kit and your food and your sleep and the running and the pacing and your brain, like especially your brain, you know, it's a
Your problem solving skills got to be next level. It's like almost like being in a giant escape room, isn't it? Where you don't know what the rules are.
Exactly. Yeah. Like all this weird stuff getting thrown at you all the time. And so that, yeah. And so I guess like every time I do a long race, I feel like I learn something else that helps to kind of, that is like a piece of that puzzle a little bit more. So that would be the appeal of going back, is like feeling that there's, you know, there's definitely like lots of times that I wasted time. There's was lots, you know, half an hour crying, for example. I feel like probably if I cut
It was
that,
wasted. I think it was
I
time
mean, that's
well
quite well
spent.
spent, to be fair.
Yeah, time well spent.
Important time.
You obviously needed it.
Sure.
You got all the bad juju
Yeah,
out before you got to the end, so you could do a good interview at the end. It's
yeah,
great.
right. That's true. Yeah, I'm not sure it's like textbook race execution.
No.
Yeah, so I don't know. That was a long, faffy way of being like, I don't know, maybe I'd do it again. The appeal would be that I feel like I can still do better there than I have done.
Why did you do the spine and the Northern Traverse in the same year? Because that is not a lot of space between the two.
I think I didn't realise that January and April were quite close together. It's probably the short answer to that.
It's like 1.5 months because February's a short month.
Very
So,
short month,
yeah.
and you're a bit injured from January, and then you're tapering in April.
But
So,
what an incredible recovery. Like, what an incredible, like, you were absolutely storming it through the Northern Traverse. Like, so, like, were you, like, what did you do? Good sleeps, good foods.
I ate a lot, I slept a lot. And it honestly, it was like a little bit touch and go. Like, I had a couple of, a couple of kind of little injuries and niggles from the spine that, hand on heart, like, weren't 100%. Like, I wasn't totally sure they weren't going to crop up again. But mostly they were okay. I felt like it was kind of just long enough to have, like, recovered properly, and that took a while, like a good month, to be like properly training again. And then there was kind of just long enough to do a bit of training, and then be back into
And then a couple of recces. I remember seeing you going out on your recces. I was like, cutting that bit fine, isn't she? Your recces. I was like, your kids on the
it.
spine. All right. She knows what it's going to be like underfoot. So we're going to just go through our quick wind grim get in the bin. Let's do your most recent race. So on the Northern Traverse, what was your win on the Northern Traverse? What was the most winning thing that happened? Apart from
My
you winning.
well,
Apart from you winning, obviously.
we've spoken about it already. It was going to be, just all of the amazing women out there, like on the Lakes Traverse, on the Northern Traverse. There were so many. I think, especially when you have these big events, these big races, the thing I love about it is that everyone, like, has their own, like, epic story, and like anyone's story is this kind of amazing, like, incredible adventure. And there were just so many people I spoke to who, like, so like my mate Sam did really well on the Lakes Traverse. That was amazing. And I, like, came into Shap and saw her there, and, like, got to hear a bit about her journey. Another mate of mine, Jen, who has, like, volunteers every year on the spine at every single event. Like, she's just an amazing, amazing person. And she had a, like, a hard time to even get to the start line, a hard time getting through it. And a couple of the women who, people who, like, didn't have the race they wanted or didn't get to the finish line. But still, there was a lady called Petra who I'd met before, who had, she wrote this amazing race report where she basically, like, the number of things that she, like, overcame in her journey. Like, she troubleshooted and problem solved, like, 10 different, she had, like, back spasms and nav problems and was feeling sick, and this happened and that happened, and she just overcame and overcame and, like, went through all of these different things. And I just love the fact there were so many, particularly women, all, like, scattered on those hills, all, like, living their, like, epic stories. It was
Oh my
just
God, I had such a good laugh for this race. Like, it was like the most lols I think I could cry thinking talking about it. Like, the most lols I've had with women I've never met before. And it was just like, just brilliant, wasn't it? Like, so many good vibes. And like, okay, when I got into shop, Eddie Sutton was sat there with a fucking tinfoil blanket over her, two hot Coca-Colas under each arm, hot Coca-Cola, throwing up. And I'm like, all right. She's like, go away, you look amazing, go away. And I'm like, I'm tired. Gave us some caff, some ginger. I was like, now I'm worried about Eddie. Yes, it's come in third. Inspiring is it to be in that situation where you're like, oh my God, are you okay, hon? And then it's like, nah, goes on to finish it. Like, I just, and also, I just love it. I just love the lack of, there's no meanness, there's just wishing well on everybody, isn't there? And it's such a joyful thing.
Really joy. I mean, it's different, but I was at the London Marathon yesterday, like, watching everyone coming through, and it's obviously, like, it's the same thing. It's like every single person there is on this, like, incredible story that they're gonna be telling their family, whether it's, like, chasing a big scary marathon goal, or, like, doing your first marathon, or, whatever. Like, everyone is just, I guess, like, having the opportunity to, like, push themselves and to experience, like, Storm Kathleen and
And because at the root of all of it, like at the root of all of it, it's just for you. And it's just something you do for you. And same with marathon runners, half marathon runners, even people that go to park run every week. Like, I'm sure you get this when people talk to you. Oh, it's nothing compared to what you do. But it's like, it's not even comparable because whatever you do as a runner, you're doing it for you and it gives you that freedom and that empowerment. And I think that is the most special thing about it. So, yeah,
Super magic.
brilliant.
Big win.
What was the grimmest thing that happened to you? Did anything grim happen to you? Did you do a
Everything
did you
grim.
do a poo on the trail?
Not on the trail, of course. I moved
You moved the article.
the requisite distance away. Just in the middle. No.
Just...
I listened to
Well,
the
I did it, but then
wrong thing. That's
I was blown into it. It was
not
awful.
allowed.
Everything grim happened. Just the whole thing was like quite feral. I stepped in, like, there was a lot of frog spawn just
Oh
like
yeah.
in the trail. That was pretty revolting.
Someone told me the other day that they went out with a bloke on a date with a bloke, and then they decided they didn't want to go out with them anymore because he said they used to eat frog spawn, so they stopped singing. So I
That
think
is,
that's
yeah, I
quite a good
think.
shout.
Yeah. I think I might add that to a sort of screening
Sometimes I look at it and think,
question.
oh, I bet that's full of protein. Sometimes I look at it and think that, and then I'm like, no, you don't think that, Ali. Crack on. So yeah, there was a lot of frog spawn. I did notice that.
There was a lot of frog spawn, there was a lot of vomiting, there was a lot of mud. I
Are
was
you
the
a?
most muddy I've ever been in my life.
I know. That's why I love the pictures at the end, because they are my favorite pictures of all time, because you looked like a toddler that had just come out of a play park.
It was
Fucking
so
covered in it.
bad. Yeah, that was from the, yeah, I already had like quite a good mud coverage. And then on the coast path at the end, it was just like a swamp. And I fell over and like face planted, like full belly flop into the mud. And I was in like the last 4K or so. I was literally like completely coated. And I'd been listening to, you had said, Ali, on the podcast about when you came to the end of like what the wild horse and you'd
Yeah.
like sorted your hair out a bit and like put a fresh buff on. And I was coming into Robin Hood's Bay and I was sort of looking down at myself, being like, I just don't really know where to start here. Like, I'm not sure there's
But
a solution.
that is what makes you an incredible athlete and what makes me a massive prick. But now
Well,
I've had
now I
all
have a lot of
that tattooed on my face, so I don't need to do it anymore. So
focus.
there you go. Right, so that's gross. Hey, puke and rally. Are you a puke and rally person? Do you just throw up and crack on?
I normally, at the point that I throw up, it's a good outcome because you've been feeding. Yeah, I felt nauseous from day. Yeah, I didn't really eat any food.
What, through the whole thing?
Not very much. Yeah, no, I ate quite a lot of gels. But yeah, I sort of stopped being able to eat food quite early. And
This
then
is like my, because my
couldn't.
food is my nemesis. I'm really
Yeah,
frightened. I'm doing the
really.
spine. I'm doing the spine challenge in North. No, just the challenge South. Sorry, the baby one. And I'm shitting myself because I'm like, well, there's no aid station for 100K, and I like a sandwich and a pork pie, and I like a lot of pork pie, a veggie pork pie, and I'm like. I like real food. I like and I'm so I'm just trying to like I'm drinking loads of liquid calories at the moment, trying to test stuff. I just think it's incredible that you can crack on without having anything in your system.
It's not good. I did have a lot of gels, but it's still, yeah. And I need to sort that out because it feels like, yeah, it feels like something that could be
Makes
improved upon.
recovery hard though, doesn't it? When you
Right.
like completely running on empty. Yeah. So
Yeah, for sure.
that was grim. What can get in the bin about that race?
Well, so related to that, the thing I ended up physically putting into the bin, I'm going to take that one literally. I put a kilogram of Biscoff sandwiches into the
Thank
bin
you.
at the end of the race because they've been amazing. Every single recce I've done, I have taken Biscoff sandwiches with me. They've been fantastic. They have powered me up and down the nine standards through the Yorkshire Dales, all of them.
A
All the
bit, hang on a
recces, they were
minute.
perfect.
Are you talking
Right.
about the biscuits or are you talking about the sandwiches with
Bread,
smashed up
spread.
Biscoff in?
Bread, Biscoff spread.
Spread,
Biscoff
right.
spread with Red Thins. So then it's like quite moist and compact and delicious, and you can squash them down. And they were the absolute dream for every single recce that I did. And then I ended up carrying a kilogram of Biscoff sandwiches from some bees to Robin Hood's Bay and then putting them all in the
Excellent adventure they had.
bin. Yeah, they had a lovely time.
Did they get
And
wet?
really, they experienced everything. I mean, some of them were in my drop bag, but they. Each time I was like, this is the leg where I'm going to be able to eat the Biscoff sandwiches. So I'd get a new little doggy bag of them, bring them with me for a new adventure. Some of them got muddy, some of them got wet. Some
Ugh, wet
of them
bread
had
is
like
like my.
one eaten, but it was, yeah, they all went in the bin. I was really
Well,
sad.
I took some Biscoff biscuits because
Ah,
the bridesmaid
you've
told me
changed,
to.
Ali.
No. Dickhead told me to.
Okay.
I was so nice about him. He's going to be a co-presenter on this. And I was
Nice.
like, all right, then I'll give these a go. And then I had two at Patterdale and left them all on the table because I don't want these anymore.
Yeah.
My thing that I'm scared of the most is wet bread. So like the thought of even looking at wet bread scares me. So I'm
You
like, that's not for me,
would
unfortunately.
not have
Absolutely not. Right, got time for a couple of questiones. These are quite good. If you had a competition between ultra running vets and medics, who would win?
Oh, that is a good question. What would be the nature? Is it like a, is it an all out, is it a relay? Is it an all out
No, it's
race?
all our
What are we
race.
talking? All out
Gonna
race.
line you up with the I'm trying to think of a race none of you have done, but I can't think of one.
The
But like,
vets are having a good year, aren't they? Hey.
yeah, but I think the vets are using. So I'm like, what are you using? What is in that vet cupboard that you're using?
Do you think it's a bit less tightly regulated in the veterinary world? That's true. Whereas it's quite hard for me to get hold of
I know. Like,
that
you might be able to get hold of some codeine, but they've got
thing.
Ketamine. So I'm
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
what have
They've
they
got a lot of
got?
good stuff.
I
I think
mean,
that would give them an unfair advantage, but probably would give them the edge.
I reckon that the vets are going to win. I'm sorry about that. Okay, the
No, I
next
think you're
question
right.
is, you seem to excel at races with sleep deprivation. How do you manage the tiredness? Did you go to sleep?
I did go to sleep.
Did
Yeah,
you?
I did. Yeah, no, definitely. I don't know why I keep doing these races because I hate the sleep deprivation and I don't think I'm very good at it.
You obviously are because you've come second at the Spine 3 times,
Yeah.
but you've also flipping well come first at this. So how many hours did you have, do you reckon?
I think I had about 40 minutes in the checkpoint in Richmond. And then I had 10 minutes in Lordstones, and then I started having trail naps,
What did
literally
you
kind of
literally just put your head on a wall
where
or
you literally
lay
just like get
down?
a bit tired and then lie down, with bag on, everything on, and just kind of lie down by the side of the trail for like 5 minutes. And
Do you know, one
I
day, like, someone's gonna be doing that, and someone's gonna be out walking their dog and get the fucking like fear of God put into them that they found a body.
Yeah, I mean, there's normally not very many. I did find, Dave Parrish, one of the guys who I was running around. I did like come across him having one of his. It was quite alarming.
Yeah.
He like lain down by the trail, and he said he'd done it deliberately, that he'd put it so his feet were facing the direction we were coming from, and he said he'd done that so that when I came past him with my head torch, I'd wake him up. But we were on a slope. We were on like a 30-degree slope, so he was just hanging with like his head kind of half like off a cliff, and his
Oh
little feet
my.
like poking up in the air. And I came past him, was like, "Dave's dying. It's
Did you just run past it? Dave's died, it's bad. Keep going. Just don't do anything. Oh
Oh,
well.
yeah, he said made some noises, and
You
he
win some, you lose some. It
yeah.
happens.
A bit of attrition. So I had a lot of those, and I find them very helpful. So you just have a 5 minute nap and you can get
Do
quite a
you
lot.
practice that ever? Like, do you practice at home? You're like, I'm just going to practice my napping. No.
No, maybe I feel like that's something I could really like add into the
Just me.
training.
Yeah,
Nap training.
something I get
Yeah.
behind. I got to the point where, well, basically I was like, no, I have to have a 90-minute nap. And Andy Berry was like, that's asleep. I'm like, and so now I've got it down to, I've squished it down to 20 minutes. And I'm like, that's
Okay,
cool. So maybe
nice.
if I can squish it down to 10, my life
Yeah,
will start to get better.
there
But
we
at
go.
the moment, no.
I like that. That's a smart goal. That's a kind of good, achievable objective.
Thank you very much. I'm really proud of myself with
Yeah,
my
well
napping.
done.
But you do seem to do really well off it. So did you, is there any adverse effects of this? Like, you've talked about hallucinations in your spine blog, which I very much enjoyed. Was there anything bad on this one?
I didn't hallucinate on this one, really. I mean, the main thing is you just get really slow, like really, like painfully slow. And so I think this time I decided that the trail naps were working well for me. And so just like the minute I got tired, I just lay straight down on the ground, like immediately. And I'd had probably too many trail naps, I think, just because I was like, oh, I'm a bit sleepy. Nap time, let's go. And repeated that a lot. So no hallucinations this time around. Some quite weird, like thoughts about, I don't know, like I woke up from one of the naps on this is really horrendous, but I'm sure it's lovely, bit of the North York Moors where it's like an old railway and it's completely flat and completely featureless and it
Oh
goes on
man.
nothing. And I had a nap on there and I woke up and I couldn't work out which direction I'd come from. Like I just had no idea like where I was going, which way. And I literally had to like set off running and check on my watch to see if I was going the right way or not. That
So
was
Kirsty Reid, my friend, you might know
yeah.
Kirsty, she did it last year, and on that section, she started to hallucinate that the sky was falling in and she had an umbrella and she was pushing it away. And not only was the sky falling in and she was pushing it away with an umbrella, but it was a cliff and there was, because it was pitch black and there was drops either side. So I'm on a ridge and there, and so she was like terrified going along this railway track. She went and recce'd it about 3 weeks before this year and realized it was a lovely wide railway
Right,
track. She was
beautiful.
like, it was lovely. Lovely. I'm really looking forward to that section. I'm like, but it won't be lovely on night three. It's not
Yeah.
lovely.
Tell her it wasn't lovely. She didn't miss it a thing. It was
Kind of like the more
back to
features
being
it
shit.
is, The more features it is, the more your brain can just go
More your
absolutely
brain can just
mental.
fill it all in. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's mad. And my final question for you is, when you realized you were going to win, how did you feel? Like, is it something that you're like super proud of? Is it something, are you bothered by the outcome goal of it? Is it more about the process? Like, how did that feel? Because the other thing is, you were pretty close to a course record. Did you, or is there no course record because you didn't go for Kidsley Pike?
That's it. Yeah. So I knew. Yeah. So from basically from the second night, I was feeling pretty rubbish, and moving pretty slowly. And I kind of wanted something to motivate. And I guess that's what I mean about like being competitive, is I just kind of needed something to chase, and I didn't really care what that thing was. So it could have been another competitor, but someone told me that I was kind of on the course record. So I was like, okay, that'll do. Let's chase the course record. And I thought that it probably wasn't gonna count because I'd been around the diversion instead of over Kidsley Pike, but I didn't care. I was like, I just want this to be done. This will do. This is something that I can chase against. And that worked really well. And that was fun. Hey, that was like doing the maths of like how many kilometers I've got left to go and how many minutes I've got left to go. And yeah, that was just like an arbitrary thing that helped to that kind of helped me to push to the end. So that was fun. Yeah, it's nice to win races, right? Like that's a nice thing. It was nice to come second overall. That's always like, I feel I was quite like I quite like again like I think like maybe like being competitive, I'm like more comfortable. I'm kind of more comfortable with like beating boys. Do you know what I mean? Like it's sort of when you feel a bit like you're doing it for the women rather than just like beating other, I'm not that interested in beating other women, but beating boys is quite
It's
nice.
great. It's brilliant.
Yeah. So that was, yeah. So that's like a nice outcome. I was pretty happy with that. If anyone had come and overtaken me, I would have chased them quite hard. But like I said, it was, yeah, mostly kind of having these targets to keep moving and to see what I could do.
Do you have the ability to, like, because when I get to the end of those things, I'm like, it hurts, man. And mine are nowhere near as long as yours, but it hurts. It hurts. Like, it physically can hurts. And I find it really difficult to, like, spur myself on to, like, go quicker because it hurts. Are you able to, like, disassociate that? Like, or does it just not, this Hannah Rickman made of fucking steel. Does she just not feel
Definitely
that? Are
not.
you
No,
able
she
to,
doesn't get to that.
like, how does that work for you? Like, are you able to disconnect from it?
I think often it doesn't actually hurt that much more if you're running than if you're walking. I think like often that's
I
actually
think you
quite a
might be
good
right.
incentive, is like actually once you start running, like it's not any worse. And then you're like, well, if then I run instead of walk, then I'll be done quicker. And then I can stop. And then once I stop, it'll hurt less. So yeah, that was definitely a thing this time around. It was like, okay. And actually on the spine this year in a big way was like, okay, yeah, it's painful. But it's not more painful to run than it is to walk. So I might as well run.
I think it's really interesting because I think I and other people, listeners, convince themselves that it's like, no, it's done. And your brain is so powerful, isn't it? And I think maybe it's just testing it and pushing it. And yeah, I find it, I
I mean,
just
it
find
definitely
it, it's all
doesn't always work. Like you're right. Like it's
no.
definitely like it's a trick that you play with on your brain. And definitely, like, whether you walk or run in an ultra, I feel like a lot of that is like 90% brain at any point in
100%.
what
Like, I did a race in October. I was really not well for like the whole 20 last 25 miles. It was awful. And I was like, I want to get under 24 hours. I was in agony. It was
you're doing.
awful. There was so much wrong with me, but I managed it. And I'm like, come on, Ali, like, it can't be that bad because you did manage to push through it. Whereas there's been races, like, at the end of the lake stress, I was like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to walk this in with Rob because it's not the route I wanted to do. I was looking forward to running down the side of Haweswater. I know I can run that. Don't know this route. Can't run it. It's fucking 4 miles of road, Ali. You can run it. You're choosing not to run it. So, it's just really interesting, isn't it? Last question for you. What song do you want to add to the playlist? Did you listen to music or did you listen to podcasts or did you not listen to anything?
I listened to some music. I listened to some podcasts. Yeah, and I normally quite like, especially going into, yeah, after kind of the first day, to have a little bit of something to distract my brain. I this the playlist situation caused me quite significant anxiety, Ali,
You think you're going to get
because
judged?
you lot are very cool and
This
my
is a
taste in
safe
music is like
space.
unapologetically. No, I don't think it is. You shouldn't say that till you know what I'm going to say.
For you, it's a safe space.
Oh,
But for a
okay.
lot of other people, it's not.
That's
For you,
very
it
strong.
is.
Okay. So, for example, quite a lot of what I listen to would be, e.g., Disney,
Oh
or
God.
I'm just looking at she's gritting her teeth. You're
How
regretting.
nice.
The safe space is revoked.
Anna, where's Anna? Anna would be loving this.
And I do listen to musicals quite a lot. And
Oh
quite often
God.
I will listen to a whole musical. I'll like start at the beginning and then listen to the whole thing the whole way through because it's got a little story and it's got
Love
some
it.
songs. Like
Brilliant.
I did 100 Miler last year and I listened to the whole of Joseph and his Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat 3 times. It's just
It's a classic.
start to finish it. It's a classic.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year on my Spotify Wrapped, my most listened to artist of 2023 was Andrew Lloyd Webber. That was bad. So I'm just, are you sure about
Cool.
that safe
Yeah,
space?
you go for it. You add whatever
Okay.
you want.
All right. Then I would like one from musical and one from Disney, please.
Go on then. What are you
All
having?
right. Please, can I have Wait For It from Hamilton?
Yes. Yep.
Touch the Sky from Brave.
Oh, nice.
Both players.
Okay, you can have those. Have you ever listened to the Starlight Express
I
soundtrack?
have, yes.
When I was growing up, I was obsessed with Starlight Express. Obsessed with a capital O.
Nice.
I went
Yeah,
to see
nice.
Starlight Express about 180 times in London.
Nice. Yeah.
I was going to be in Starlight Express. I just
That
knew
was
it.
my life ambition, I would say, was to be in Joseph. Yeah. I hear you.
Didn't turn out that way. Sadly for me.
Life takes its turns, right?
It does. And after realizing that roller skating was quite hard in my garage, aged
Yeah,
nine,
fair.
I stopped
Oh, you
trying.
tried though. You probably went out to acquire the skills required.
I can do the skate along, put your leg out, and then get squat down and spin around in a circle. I
Oh,
could do that
mate.
when I was nine. I'm now 42. So let's see if.
Oh, you're halfway there.
Right. Thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure. If I watch your next race, and where can people find you if they want to follow your blog? Because your blog's incredible.
My next race, so I'm doing a fell race at the end of May, which I'm pretty terrified about because it's like very long way outside my wheelhouse.
What sort of fell race? How far is it? Is it a little one or a big one?
It's a big one. So it's on the Isle of Jura,
Ooh.
which is in the Hebrides, and it's where we used to go on family holidays when I was a kid. And so I've known about this race. It's my literal lifelong bucket race. I've
Oh
known
my God,
about this
amazing.
race like since I was born, and we would see these like lunatics in their short shorts, like heading up into the mountains and then coming back like covered in mud, and like blood and traumatized.
Right. Cool.
And since then I've been like, oh, that looks fun. But it's like a proper, like gnarly, steep, technical, horrendous fell race. And I'm excited. I'm gonna be like really bad at it. It's like not at all my wheelhouse, and I'm really excited about that. So yeah, it's gonna be great. And then I'm doing like 150.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it should be fun. So
Great. Well,
those are the
there's
two next bits of fun. Are
little
you doing
Lakeland
some
crew.
Lakeland fun?
I'm doing Lakeland 100.
Nice.
Yeah, so I've never done. I got in the ballot, and I was like, oh yeah, that's like a bucket tick for me.
Yeah.
I always want to do it. So I'm excited. It'll be nice. But thank you so much for talking to us. Really appreciate it, and I'm sure
Oh,
you've
you're
helped
welcome.
inspire and a nation as always. And your blog. Where is your blog if people want to read it?
Oh, probably find it from my Instagram is probably easiest. And then take it from there.
Thanks so much. I'm
Thanks
loving
for
it.
having me, Ali. Lovely to chat.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System sponsored by Innovate. You know how much we love you. We love you a lot. We'd love you even more if you hopped onto the old socials and dropped us a follow. We're on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Ultrasound System and we'll pop up. Or you can email us at ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. Drop us a DM, a VM, whatever you fancy. Let us know your stories because without you, we would have absolutely nothing to talk about. And if you've got the time, don't forget to leave us a review on whatever platform you get your pods on. It helps with discovery. Ooh, discovery. Okay, that's it. We love you. Till next week. Bye-bye.